John chapter number 13. I just wrote a blog on, I don't know if I'll get into the blog tonight. We'll see. So much is stirring around in me. We'll get, see what. But I just wrote a blog on some things. I woke up Monday morning and the Spirit of God, I've been writing the blog a lot on fellowship. If you've been reading them, I won't take a poll because I don't want to embarrass anybody. Amen. Just, it's out there for you. But I've been writing on fellowship with God. And I woke up on Monday morning, and the Spirit of God said this to me. I heard these words coming up out of my spirit Monday morning. He said, no man can talk critically of others and have good fellowship with me. And boy, I hadn't thought about some of those things about the words of our lips for a while. And I started meditating on that, I sensed I'm supposed to write a blog on it, but I didn't have any idea what to write on. You know, I just, well, I know that's in the Bible, but where do I start on that? And I just started, I've learned there's, it's a little like preaching by faith. You just open the file, put the title on the page, put the scripture that came to you, and the first thing that comes, you write it. And I'm telling you, before you're done, you're cutting things out because it's too long. I got a length. I'm trying to keep that blog from going beyond a certain length. And I'd send them for editing, and the editors say, no, it doesn't matter how long it is. I said, yes, it matters how long it is. Just got to keep these things from being books, you know. Each one could be a book. But anyway, and I started feeding on that, and man, that's come alive on the inside of me. And I got started Monday morning, got started getting stirred up about the love walk.
All right, now, come on.
Man, oh man, and I... Yeah. And I believe we're going to make Brother Hagin's book, Love, The Way to Victory, the book of the month for September. Amen, because it's just rising up so big on the inside of me. I've learned, you're in James and John. Did I tell you to go to John? I noticed something about being around more seasoned ministers whenever I've had the privilege of being around more seasoned ministers. I've noticed, or I just said in their services, you know. I've noticed they emphasize the love walk more than young ministers do. I believe the reason is because they've done a little living. You know what I'm talking about? And they have discovered that the importance of this issue. And really, you know, faith works by love. Galatians, is that 5:6, 6:5, whichever. Faith works by love. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And so they've learned that for spiritual success, to have faith work, they've learned that walking in love is of primary importance. I haven't ever studied it. Brother Hagin made the statement. He said, if you look through the Gospels and Jesus' teachings on the any hindrances to faith, the only thing he mentioned is unforgiveness or not walking in love. That doesn't mean there's not other hindrances, you know, to walking by faith. But I mean, I think we ought to just camp on the first one he mentioned, you know, or the one he mentioned. But anyway, so... you know, getting around these ministers, I've noticed that, and because of they want spiritual success, they want success in their ministry, and they even want to be healthy, and they even want to live long, which there are verses for all those things. He that would love life, 1 Peter 3, remember 8, 9, 10, 11, down and through there. He that would love life. Love life and see good days. Good days.
Good days.
Good days. He's quoting Psalms there. In the Psalm, you go over and read the Psalm. The Psalm says, that over in the Old Testament, it says many days. Somebody said, well, is it good days or many days? Yes. Yes. Many good days. Many good days. He that would love life and see many good days. Let him refrain his tongue.
Watch your mouth. Come on,
there it is.
From evil.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Now you might say, well, we don't know what evil is. Well, you go to Ephesians chapter, I'm giving you verses, you don't have your fingers in, but you go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Go there. Go there. Ephesians chapter number 4. What's verse 29 say? How does verse 29 start out? Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4:29. What's the first few words? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So he's talking about what we say. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister what?
Grace
to the hearers. How many of you know if we're putting other people down, talking critically about other people behind their back, airing their faults, we're not ministering grace to the hearer? Amen. And Wes, how's the next verse start? Grieve not the Spirit, there's the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. What's the next verse say? Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. What's the next word? Evil speaking. That's the one that we don't get. That's the one we don't get. We can maybe figure out what those other ones are. But evil speaking, we think that's four letter words. Curse words. But if you look it up, you look at James 4, James 5, it says, grudge not one against another. That means complain. Don't complain. And then he calls it evil speaking. Then he says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing in James 3. This ought not so to be. For with the same mouth we bless men and curse men. Well, what is a curse? It's speaking evil over them. Or talking critically about them. And that evil speaking is just that. It's speaking, it's fault finding, airing faults, you know, speaking grudges, unforgiveness. It's basically evil speaking is not walking in love with our mouth. Now, the mouth, when it comes to the love walk, is the, really, the it's the Bible says in James 3, he talks about the tongue there in James chapter number 3. He said, if any man can bridle his tongue, he's a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. So what he's saying is the tongue's the most unruly member. The most unruly member. In other words, we'll sin quicker with our tongue. Than we will any other member.
That's right.
Amen. I don't even know. I don't think I've ever hit anybody. Maybe when I was a kid, Clyde Fickus, but you know what I'm talking about. That's if I've hit anybody since then, I don't recall. Amen. So my fist hasn't sinned against you. But boy, that tongue.
Come on.
So he's saying, if you can control that tongue, you can control your whole body. It'd be a little like you being a babysitter for somebody. They got three boys. Amen. Looking straight up, not thinking of anybody. But anyway. And they say, now, we're going out for the evening. Here's where, you know, all they need. So get put into bed by this time, so forth. And now, if they start acting up, this is the one that if you got, this one right here. This is the one. This little medium-sized one right here. This one. This is the culprit. Now, if you get a hold of him, you can get the others to settle down. Well, that's what he's saying here. If you can get a hold of that tongue, you can get a hold of your whole, all the feelings of your body. Because that's what we're talking out of sometimes. We're talking out of feelings. Amen. Our flesh has feelings. And boy, sometimes I just got to get it off my chest. And we want to speak our feelings. And we say we feel so much better. Well, of course, we yielded to the flesh.
There it is.
Amen. Well, anyhow, I'll get off of that. So when I've been around more seasoned ministers, I've noticed they're very guarded about their words. And I just sense God saying to all of us, it's time for us to do a checkup on what we say. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And this can be a reason for struggle in our fellowship with God. 1 John 1 talks about, if you read it very closely, 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Well, we read that, we don't define darkness, so we miss what he's talking about. Go over to 1 John chapter number 2. I know you still got your finger in James and John, right? We've already quoted Peter, so this is a Peter, James, and John service. Hallelujah. Oh, I knew I shouldn't have come tonight. I just knew. Or I knew so-and-so should have come tonight. No, you're here. I'm here. So when he said, if we walk in darkness, notice we just quoted 1 John 1:6. If we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Well, that's right. All those people out there in immorality and all those people out there stealing and, you know, cheating the government and all those people out there that are lying and laying around and drinking whiskey. Living in darkness. Okay, let's read 1 John 2. 1 John 2, look at verse 10 and 11. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks not in darkness, knows not whether he goes. Because that darkness, in other words, that darkness of not walking in love. Remember, walking in love is light. That's the first thing he said. He that loves his brother abides in the light. So that darkness, in other words, walking in that darkness of not walking in love, walking out of hate, the fleshly nature of unforgiveness, and the fleshly nature holds. How many of you know that our spirit is the love of God's been shed abroad in our spirit, but not our flesh? Yes. Our flesh will still do the same things and say the same things as they did before, as our flesh did before we got saved.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Sure enough. Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll just go ahead and just let her fly. God's been dealing with me about my tongue. Amen. And what I say about other people with my tongue. Because I've been telling you about these other seasoned ministers. The more I get around them, the more they guard this. Because they're guarding their fellowship. The Bible said in the Old Testament, you guard your tongue, you guard your whole life. Ooh, my. Guard your whole life. Guard your whole life. Guard your whole life. That'd be your body. That'd be your finances. That'd be your fellowship with God. That'd be your faith working. That'd be your authority working. Hallelujah. He that would love life and see good days, that'd be your long life. That'd be your health. Let him refrain his tongue. Amen. Words. Now, like I said, these ministers, I notice they guard, they're more guarded about some of these things. Hallelujah. So, because they want to keep their fellowship with God, they don't want to lose the anointing they're walking in, the place they're walking in God. They don't want to walk in darkness because they know that opens the door to sickness, and that can cut our lives short. Amen. I'm telling you what, you might not have thought about this for a long time, but it's time for us to check up, see what we're saying. Hallelujah. So let's do it all together. What do you say? I'll look at myself, you look at yourself. So they give real heed to this task of bridling the tongue. The Bible said that we put a bridle on the horse's mouth and we turn his body, and we're to bridle our tongue. So this is a task that God's given us. This is the price of long life, of healthy living, of always being triumphant, of having continual increase. This is the price. Somebody said Jesus paid the price for that. His blood was shed. Yeah, and there's a side to it for us.
That's right.
How many of you know we can't claim the blessings of God without keeping the commandment of the New Testament? The commandment of the New Testament. Well, see here. I told you to go to John 13. I knew we'd get there. Look at verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you what? Don't break the Sabbath.
No, sir.
Huh?
No, sir.
Don't kill. Don't steal.
No.
A new commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another. How many of you know I won't kill you, steal from you, or do anything to harm you? Love works no ill.
Right.
Romans 13. No ill to his neighbor.
Right.
Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. People in the New Testament, people in our day, they say, see, we're supposed to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, if you walk in love, you won't break any of the Ten Commandments.
That's right.
He said, love is the fulfilling of the whole law.
Yes.
So he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as other people treat you and love you.
No.
Huh?
As he.
Oh, no, the standard's much higher than that. Now, Pastor, let's read what it says. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, this is not, how many of you know God told us to, this, the love of God is what shed abroad in our heart. John, remember John chapter number 5? The love of God. Somebody said, well, I can't love like Jesus loves. Well, no, not in your humanity. But the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. Yeah. Well, I'm not God. Well, yeah, we all know that.
Yeah.
I can't love like God loved. Well, see, now you're getting against the word.
Right. Yeah.
Because we have this divine kind of love. It's just not in our flesh.
Yeah.
And our feelings don't feel like it sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I said our, not just talking about you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I still got flesh, and there's times I still want to.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
and have.
Yes.
Let's just be honest. Come on,
yeah.
Now, just.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, God's dealing with me. If to walk in some things, I'm calling you to walk in.
Yeah.
You're going to have to keep your tongue.
Yes.
Guard your tongue.
Yes.
And this isn't God's assignment.
Right.
The love of God. His job was to put that love in our hearts.
Right.
The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 14 or verse 15, somewhere around there. The love of Christ constraineth us. If you listen to your spirit, any born again believer who listens to their spirit, right when they're getting ready to say something critical of somebody,
yeah.
or to air somebody's faults,
yeah.
or to speak unforgiveness,
yeah,
and how that dirty rat did me, when did they do that? Well, you know, they talk like it was just yesterday. You'd think it was yesterday. Well, 17 years ago.
Yeah.
No, but I forgave them. I forgave them. No, the love of God, God put our sin, he forgave us and put our sins in the sea of forgetfulness.
Right.
So if you've forgiven, you've forgotten it.
Yep.
And never bring it up again as a bullet in your gun. For the next time they do it. But see, you did this, and then you did that, and then you did it. Wait a minute. See, we talk about forgiving and loving, and we haven't even half done it yet.
Exactly. Yes, sir. Yeah.
I haven't even half done it. Amen. Well, you know, the big things, but the little things, it's probably nothing. No, Bible says when you pray, if you have aught against any, aught means anything. Big, medium size, little, doesn't matter, anything. Amen. You know, the little foxes, Solomon said, the little foxes spoil the vines. It's those little things that get built. I'll tell you something God deals with me is in traffic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you had to go there.
I don't know what it is today. The devil doesn't like me today. There's a lot of stuff been going on, but
come on.
I mean, I was just behind a guy. I thought I was being courteous and everything, and I came up beside him today, and he showed me a particular finger that,
Uh-oh.
I'm like, I'm not even sure what I did. You know, how many of you never said that? I'm not even sure. See, some people are just responding out of whatever they went through today. So I immediately return blessing for cursing. That's the way I do it. I say with my mouth out loud, bless you, sir. Amen. Can't get on me. His curse can't get on me. It bounced off the blessing. Now where it goes, that's up to him.
All right.
His curse bounced off the blessing in my life. And wherever it goes, I'm not gonna send it back to him, his curse back to him, because I'm returning blessing.
Amen. That's real good.
That's hanging out there for the devil to deal with, you know.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, so anyhow, how'd I get on that? But but anything, big, small, just don't hold any. I used to have, well, I still got a lot of go ye in me, but I mean in traffic, you know, just a lot of, I got to get there kind of thing. And, you know, I get behind slow traffic or something, and I kind of start puffing and puffing on the inside. And I tell you what started happening, I started getting convicted about it, especially whenever I'd go to pass them. And you look over, and it's a petite little grandma, so sweet. And here I am getting all huffy and puffy at a sweet little grandma. I get convicted. I'm like, Lord, forgive me. Don't look at me in that tone of voice.
You know exactly what you're saying.
I'm like, Lord, they're in their elderly years, and here I am. Come on now. Why am I over here so much? I don't know. But just little things. Just little things. I'm not going to let all that get built up in the inside of me. And people wonder why they got high blood pressure. This seems like they're always sick. And every time the flu goes around, they get it. Come on now. I'm going to live well and have good days. Amen. Now, sometimes it takes some effort to walk in love. Because I'm telling you, your flesh, it wants to.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, you talk about me, I'll talk about you.
All right.
I'll tell you how ugly you are. And I'm telling you what, it takes effort sometimes.
Yeah.
But the payoff. The payoff.
Yeah.
Woo, you and I can't produce the payoff. With any effort in the world.
Yeah. Come on now.
No, sir.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, I've been around. I'm trying to talk about these more seasoned ministers. I've been around them, and they just really, they just really guard these things. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
It's been easy to see they're not loose with their tongue.
Yeah.
Or critical of others.
Yeah.
Because they know the importance of guarding all that they have in God. I was just thinking on the way to church tonight. What I have in my life, the things that Pastor Debbie and I are so blessed, the things we have in our lives are only, we know, they're only here because of God.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
You take God out of it,
yeah.
It's all coming crashing down.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So that gets a little sober.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
When you know it's not you that did it.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Come on.
You know you can't hold it up if God's not holding it up.
You know it.
Or you open the door to the devil to steal it.
That's right.
So it gets a little sobering. And I think that's what these ministers, they get out there in the things of God. They get out there in the flows of God and the blessings of God and the fellowship they have with God and the revelation that has come through that fellowship. And they start realizing, if I sabotage this, everything's coming crashing down because I didn't do this and I can't keep it from being destroyed if I open the door to the devil.
Yeah.
So they get a little sober about it, and that's why they preach on love more than maybe some more less seasoned ministers. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I've been in settings where ministers are fellowshipping, and some of these seasoned ministers are there, and somebody brings up another preacher and starts criticizing. And just airing somebody's faults or speaking critically about it. And I've seen the fire in these more seasoned ministers' eyes.
Yeah.
They're looking holes through that preacher.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And because how diligently they guard their tongue and their love walk, what they say with their tongue. That the diligence they use on their own tongue has built a fire and an indignation in their spirit about anything dangerous that will open the door to the devil. And that same fire is in them whenever they hear somebody else doing it because they know the danger of talking like that. And I've seen that fire. Amen. I asked Brother Keith Moore, we start traveling out of healing school. We started getting invitations to come and preach. And, of course, we were there in healing school for many years preaching. And so got to know Brother Moore. But I'll never forget, I was out there preaching some. And after a few months or something, we were back in, had a little bit of time back home. We were back in, just sitting in healing school again. And I had a chance to talk to Brother Moore, and he said, "How's it going out there?" And I was telling him a little bit, and we were just rejoicing together. And then I said to him, "I have a question for you, if you don't mind." He said, "Sure." I said, seems like one thing I'm having a little trouble with, I said, seems like preachers, that some just want to open their mouth and just criticize other preachers and talk critically about them. I said, you know, it's very uncomfortable. A lot of these men are more, you know, they've been in the ministry longer than me. You know what I'm talking about. And so, you know, I don't want to just pipe up and say, I don't want to just pipe up and, you know, tell them to be quiet or something like that. And I said, I don't know what to do. I said, maybe they don't do it around you. But I said, could you give me some advice what to do? And he said, yeah, he said, I just don't say anything at all. And that says a lot. Amen. Woo-hoo-hoo. I never forgot that. I never forgot that. I'm looking for a statement I wrote down when I was writing the blog. It's immaturity. I don't see the statement here. It's immaturity I want to find this statement. It's immaturity to try to soften the conviction that your silence brings when people are talking critically of other people with putting a bunch of chatter in there.
Uh-oh. Oh, wow.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing. I'm looking for the statement. I don't see it. But I'll say it again. It's immaturity to try to soften the conviction, the blow of the conviction of the Spirit against their own spirit, to try to soften that with putting a bunch of chatter in, that soften the conviction that silence brings. Whenever they're talking critically and you're just looking at them.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? That silence is convicting.
Come on.
Amen.
That's good, sir.
You're looking at me funny tonight.
No, sir.
And he said it's immaturity to try to soften that conviction by filling that silence brings by filling it with chatter.
Right.
Just let them squirm.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know why some of you are looking at me so funny. Just let them squirm. Let them sputter to a halt. You know what I'm talking about? And just don't say anything. And that says a lot. As well as the look on your face.
Come on.
Amen. Also, these ministers that I'm talking about, these more seasoned ministers that I notice, they really put a guard on their tongue. I've noticed, I think one of the reasons that they are so diligent, that they get that look on their face, is they don't want that information put in their ear and in their mind. Because they don't want to have to think those cast down those thoughts every time they're around that person, or they talk to that person, or somebody talks to that person, or talks about that person. I know years ago I was preaching in a certain state, and a particular minister that I was preaching for a pastor, and a particular minister sort of in that region had started to become very prominent. And today, really, actually, today is very prominent. Well known, and God really has been using him and so forth. And I had heard some chatter about him, but I never entered into it. Never, I just put it on the shelf. Just, I don't know if that's true. Yeah. Because I found out a lot of things that people say isn't true anyhow.
Right. That's right. Exactly.
You'd be surprised how many things people say aren't true. It's only repeating what they heard. And the person that said it didn't have firsthand information. So, I learned that on the road. In fact, one time I got really convicted because somebody had said something, and I asked somebody else about it to see if it was true that they actually knew this person. They said, absolutely not. And I started having that happen over and over and over again. I'm like, I don't know the percentage. I'm guessing at least 50% of what was said wasn't even true. At least. I think it's more like 70% of what people said wasn't even true anyhow. Or if it was, it was very slanted in the way it was said. Amen. And I was in a particular state, and this minister started really, I mean, he went in on this other minister. This minister is really being raised up, and God was using him mightily. And he told me, yeah, there's a lot of things a lot of people don't know, you know, and this and that and this and that and criticism and criticism and criticism and criticism and criticism. And I to this day wish I hadn't heard that. Because that man keeps on being raised up. God's using him more and more and more and more. God's blessing him. Even if what that minister said about him was true, obviously he got it under the blood. Amen. His family's blessed. His marriage is blessed. His ministry is blessed. I mean, his finances are blessed. God's using him more and more and more. You know, something might have actually happened, but they got it under the blood. And if we go out and we keep repeating it,
Come on.
Bible said, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. I mean, if we've missed it, we all have. If we've missed it and we let, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I flew off the handle. I got angry. Oh, my goodness. Shouldn't have said. I got hot and said some things. Anybody ever got hot and said some things?
Yes, sir.
Amen. If you got any kind of life in you, at one point or another, you got hot. And you went and repented. Well, people saw that and they go repeat it. God forgave them. And we're in a bad place if we're holding something against them. God's forgave. They're going to go on be blessed. But now we're the ones that are going to be hindered in our walk with God, in our faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Of course, I'm being vague. I don't call names because that's not walking in love. So praise God. I don't want my ear is not a trash bucket. Amen. My ear is not a slop bucket. Amen. So I've noticed that some of these more seasoned ministers, that the looseness of others speaking causes a righteous, holy indignation to rise up on the inside of them. And they don't seem to soften the conviction that's in the room by their look. Amen, because they know how dangerous this is. How many of you want to learn how dangerous this is? Amen. Hallelujah. I heard a minister talk about Brother Copeland one time. This is all out public. Then Brother Copeland, he tells this story. So I'm not talking about Brother Copeland. It's a good illustration. Brother Copeland actually tells it. He said, one time I was critical of a particular minister. And he said, I was in a series of meetings overseas. And he said, I started speaking privately against him. And he said, I got sick in a hurry. Brother Copeland said, I got sick in a hurry. And he said, I had to call this minister and repent to him. To get healed.
Amen.
See, that opens the door. How many of you know we can't break the New Testament commandment? And some people just seem like they can just freely just fly off the handle, say things, sort of thing. Well, their looseness doesn't allow me to be loose.
Come on. Amen.
I want to go on with God, on in the anointing, on in the call, on in the blessings. Now, I want to go from glory to glory. I don't want to be stuck where I am right now. I know Pastor Hagin said, Brother Hagin told him one time, he said, and I might not be able to quote it exactly, but I got it written down exactly, but it's something to the effect, ask yourself, whenever you're tempted to be in offense or unforgiveness, he said, ask yourself, do I want to get stuck right here where I am in my life right now for the rest of my life? Brother Hagin said to Pastor Hagin, ask yourself, and of course the answer is always, oh, no. Amen. I'm convinced this is the reason for mental oppression in many believers' lives. Brother Hagin said of all the hindrances to faith he's run into in dealing with people one-on-one in the area of healing, he said this is the number one one.
That's right.
Well, what about mental oppression? Why would you say that? You remember the parable Jesus gave in Matthew 18 of the man who wouldn't forgive the man. He was forgiven of a great debt and he wouldn't forgive. And then the king found out about it, and he said, you know, I forgave, you called him in, I forgave you this big debt, and you wouldn't forgive. And then he said, turn him over to the tormentors. Notice that term, tormentors.
Yes, sir.
I'm convinced mental oppression, things that just keep harassing people, there's a root of unforgiveness in there. There's something that keeps open that door. Yeah. Now, there's other things. Controlling the thought life is an issue, too. We preach a lot on that. I just want to hit on that, too.
Yes, sir.
People can have faith and their faith not work.
Because
faith works.
Yes.
You can have it, but it not work.
Right.
It works by love.
That's right.
That's right.
Let's put it. Let's just bring it down home. It works by controlling what we say.
Yes.
Come on. Because part of the restraint. Remember, we started quoting there 2 Corinthians 5, I think 14. The love of Christ constraineth us. Part of that constraint, we've all sensed it. Any believer knows what that constraint feels like. Or we say feels, it's not a feeling. It's down on the inside.
Yes.
Whenever we're getting ready to say something and something in there is pulling the reins back on our tongue. Say, whoa, horsey, no.
Come on.
We all know that.
Yes, sir.
We all have been there, isn't that right?
Yeah.
And sometimes overridden it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We got to break that habit. I'm getting a new resolve. I'm not getting any younger, and I want to stay healthy. And I'm getting a new resolve to not speak critically of anyone, even if they've missed it.
Amen.
Because Bible said He wants us to love as He loved us. He loved us while we were yet sinners. In other words, we had missed it over and over again, and He still wasn't cursing us to hell.
Absolutely.
He's still wooing us back.
Amen.
Love covers.
Yes.
The Bible said, love covers. New Testament and Old Testament covers a multitude of sins.
Yeah.
What's the opposite of cover? Uncover.
Yeah.
Expose.
Yeah. Right.
Put it out there for everybody to hear about it, everybody to know about it.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes things come out in the news, but see, don't let that be us.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Amen.
What unbelievers are going to do and people that aren't sanctified are going to do, that's between them and their God. But it's not going to be us.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, I just believe preachers that sin ought to be exposed. Well, they ought to be restored. Somebody, other ministers need to, you know, help restore them. Yes. But exposed? Let's turn that on you and see if you like that.
Come on. That's it right there.
Have you ever missed it? Okay, okay. Sunday morning, next Sunday, come, we're having Sunday morning coming up in 3 days.
Yeah.
4 days, whatever.
Yeah.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah, 4 days. I'm going to get in the pulpit and just tell everybody what you did. Oh, no, Pastor, don't do that. See, you don't like it on yourself.
Exactly.
Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Love covers. Amen. That don't mean you and I, if we're the ones that sinned, that don't mean you and I act like we didn't do it.
Right.
And walk around in pride like we got to keep our self-image and we don't want any our good self-image and we don't want to act like we've ever missed it. Listen, there's great rewards in repenting.
Yes, there is.
Just fess up. Whenever it's you and it's ugly.
I did it. Yeah.
It was me and it was ugly. There's a lot of things you won't escape by confessing your way out of it or praying your way out of it. You have to repent your way out of it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Boy, I'm glad I came to church tonight. Hallelujah. Everybody still love Pastor Jay? I'm turning this on myself. I'm not gunning for anybody. As far as I know, everybody here has just been lovely, but you know. I'm turning that searchlight on myself. And it's amazing when you actually start lining your life up to the 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 in the Amplified, and you look at that love. One of the things, remember one of them it says there in the Amplified, it says love takes no account of a suffered wrong. Oh, dear Jesus. No account.
Come on.
Yeah.
Okay, Lord, I'm going to start actually being a Christian now. All right, come on now. Lord, that's too high a standard. I didn't set it. Glory. Glad I came to church. I'm preaching myself right out of a hole tonight. Glory to God. So they're diligent. These seasoned ministers, maybe they know something we ought to know. They're diligent to keep the door closed to the devil by guarding their ears. They don't let these things get in their ears. Because if it gets in your ears, it gets in your mind. If it gets in your mind, it gets in your thought life. And you got to cast those thoughts down every time somebody says, yeah, so and so, boy, God really blessed them. And you think, well, yeah, but I know. They told me what's going on behind the scenes. got these women on the side.
Yeah.
Oh, you know that, huh?
Uh-oh.
You were there and saw it?
Uh-huh.
Hmm?
There it is.
There's a lot of gossip goes around. And I tell you, you get in big trouble spreading gossip. I'm talking about with God. Well, praise the Lord. I've learned whenever I sit in some of these circles, that doesn't happen like it used to. I'm telling you. Fresh Oil Fellowship, for example. Boy, it just doesn't happen like I used to hear stuff. But anyway, I used to sit and hear some of this stuff. And as I got my mind renewed, I'd hear some of these people talking. And one time I was led of the Spirit to say something. Most of the time I just don't say anything. That was the time I said, this one person went on and on and on and on and on and on about my pastor back then. And they said, what do you think about it? And I'd had it for a day and a half. I said, I just wish you'd shut up. They never invited us back. I don't know why. But I did get a release.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Because her life was in danger.
Yes, sir.
So you can't do that in the flesh.
Right.
I wanted to do it earlier, but I restrained myself. Amen. Because I checked my spirit. I'm like, oh, Lord, forgive me. And he said, no. I'm trying to save her life.
Yeah.
Trying to save her. Yeah, who knows where they are now. I lost track of them. But anyhow. I hear these people talk sometimes and how loose they are. And I just kind of sit there and think right now, you are just you're showing me an x-ray of your fellowship with God. You just showed me an MRI of your fellowship with God. You open your mouth and blab, talk ugly, put down your brother, air his faults. Like brother, I believe what I know is brother Oral Roberts made the statement the first time. Somebody said, what do you think about what so-and-so did? He said, well, putting out their candle doesn't make my burn any brighter.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're trying to get brother Oral Roberts to put out somebody else's candle. You know what I mean? Put out somebody else's candle, make you so that you look brighter. And that doesn't make you look bright. It makes you look like a dimwit.
That's it right there. Sure.
You know what a dimwit is? He just isn't very bright.
Yeah, right.
In other words, he don't have much of a candle. If anybody spiritual is around, they look at you like you're a dimwit.
Yeah.
And that's spoken in love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
No, when you grow and you see people just loose with their tongue like that, you're just sitting there and you go, I know, I can tell you don't have very good fellowship with God. Because if you did, he'd deal with you about that. I said, he'd deal with you about that. Amen. All right. James. We finally got to James. You still have your finger there? James chapter number 3. Thank God for the word.
Hallelujah.
Glad I came. I'll just preach myself right out of a hole and right into conviction. I just love to preach to where I'm convicted. Hallelujah. James chapter number 3. Look at verse number 2. In many things we offend all. Whoa. Let's put that on a refrigerator and confess it over and over again. No, he's just saying the facts. Many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, in other words, what he says with his mouth, the same as a perfect man, that means mature, and able also to bridle his whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. He talks about the ship, you know, the rudder. And we turn the ship to go whenever we want it to go. Verse 5, even though so the tongue is a little member, just like that bit and that rudder on the ship, it's little compared to the ship. Or the tongue is little, that bridle, and there's little compared to the horse. That horse can be, what, 1,000 pounds? I don't know, 800 pounds or whatever they are. Huh? Some of them 1,500. And you got that little thing in there?
Yeah.
Amen. You know why that bridle, you know why that horse goes that direction? Because it hurts.
Yeah.
You know, the Old Testament says don't be like the horse.
That's right.
That needs a bit in his mouth to get him to go a certain direction.
Yeah.
In other words, don't wait till you hurt to say, oh, I better shut my mouth.
Yeah.
Or I better walk in forgiveness.
Yeah.
Let's just do it. Let's just deal with it right whenever the conviction comes. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, well, you know, the school of hard knocks is a good school. You can learn a lot by experience. Well, yeah, but the tuition's real high.
Yes.
Just, the price sometimes for that is, it's a high price.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Tell me I'm preaching all right. Verse 5, even so the tongue, just like that bit, just like that rudder, just like that. The tongue is a little member and boasts great things. In other words, it can do some amazing things, good or bad. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. One translation says a big forest, a little fire can burn down. You know, some of these forest fires in the summertime, just a little campfire, just a little something, you know. Just a little spark of some kind, and it burns 10,000 acres or something like that. He said, that's the way the tongue is. Then he said in verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Eesh. Meditate on that one. It's a world of iniquity, and it defiles the whole body. Sets on fire the course of nature. And when it says course there, you look up the word course, it really means cycle. He's talking about the fleshly cycle of sin and death. That's a cycle.
Yes, it is.
In the Bible, according to the Bible, it's a cycle. Sin and death. More sin, more death. More sin, more death. And that's how things eventually corrupt and people die prematurely, or families, you know, live with just a lot of heartache and stuff going on, or whole nations. It can catch up to whole nations. Sin and death, sin and death, sin and death. And whenever it gets full, that cycle gets full, it overflows into death. And then it gets worse and worse. That's what he's talking about. And he said the tongue sets that in motion.
Yes.
Sin and death.
Yep.
Sin with the tongue. And then it opens the door to some kind of trouble.
Yeah.
You understand what that's saying? So let's keep on reading. See if we can learn anything more. Anybody still here? For every kind. And it is set on fire of hell. Verse 6. You know, that's what those fiery darts, remember the Bible said in Ephesians 5, remember the Bible said the weapons of our warfare, well, that's second, that there in Ephesians 5, he said, you know, be strong in the Lord, power of his might, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, so forth and so on, and then he talks about the fiery darts that are thrown. Those fiery darts are thoughts against your mind that either come just from the devil, you know, thoughts, or it comes from what somebody says.
That's true.
And he said, here, he said, the tongue is set on fire of hell. Meaning, the reason Satan wants you to have the thought against someone, or to hear critical reports about someone, is to light your tongue up. Get you to say it. Carrying an unforgiveness in your heart will hinder your faith. Don't misunderstand me. But when you say it, now you're spreading it around. And he said, that's that tongue set on fire of hell. That's what those fiery darts are for. They're to get you to light your tongue up and burn up your whole life with it. Burn your life up. Burn up your finances. Burn up your health. Burn up your body. You know, you're weak and things aren't going the way they should. Fellowship with God's hindered.
That's right. It sure will.
Just burn your whole life up. All just because of this. Amen. Why do I get the impression a lot of people are going to walk out and not say much tonight? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No, we got a lot of good things going on here at church. We've learned a lot of this, haven't we? I say that to be funny. I don't really believe that about... I don't think anybody here. Let me look. Amen. No. So look at verse number 7. Here's what we want to get to. Well, actually, the next couple of verses. Every kind of beast and of bird and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. Why they want to tame some of them, I don't know, but they do tame some of them. The tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Whoosh. Yay, Lord Jesus. Let's pray in tongues for a while and get this off of us. We got the tongue can no man. I mean, if you read that and it's like, well, I can't help myself then. There's no way. You got to look up the word man.
Yeah.
The word man there in the Greek is natural man.
Yeah.
He's not talking about... See, we got the greater one on the inside of us.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Most of us have learned what James said here.
Yeah.
We knew this before James, before we read that James said it.
Yeah.
We discovered by experience, we need help for this tongue.
Yeah.
Help! Somebody help! And God says, He's right inside of you. He's the greater one. Think about Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart. What? By the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost that put that love in there. But He didn't put that love in there and said, adios, I'll see you at the rapture. No, He put that love in there, and then He's standing by.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
And anytime we're getting ready to say something that's not love, He's like, hey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Conviction. He passes something on to our spirit. No. The love of Christ in there is constraining us. And He's in there going, don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, come on.
Right? So when we feel that whoa horsey on our tongue, we feel that. I mean, you know what I mean? Feel. It's not a feeling.
Yes.
It's down deeper than a feeling. If we go by feelings, everybody's in trouble all around us all day long.
Yeah, seriously.
And feelings come and go. They change moment to moment. I mean, if you're married, you know at one that sometimes you just think they're the greatest in the world. And the next time you think off with your head. You know what I'm talking about. Anybody's getting married, just. Amen. You can't go by feelings. Amen. Brother Hagin said a lady came to him one time and said, I'd like you to pray for me if you would. And he said, well, what about? She said, do I have to tell you? He said, well, I'm not going to pray if you don't. I mean, how am I going to use faith for something I don't know? You know, silent requests. You ever notice we've never opened the prayer time for silent requests? How are you going to pray in faith with something you don't even know what you're agreeing on? She said, well, do I have to tell you? I can't pray for you unless you tell me. She said, all right, well, I think this was a visitor. He was a guest speaker somewhere, I think. This lady came up to him. He was talking on the love walk. And she said, my husband's not saved. And really, he's a good man. But he came home. He used to drink a lot. And I got saved. And I'm not, a drinker anymore. And he's still unsaved. He drinks a little bit. But he's really not drunk. He doesn't get drunk like he used to. He used to come in and get drunk and come in just all lit, but that's the natural lit, you know what I'm talking about. Thank God for we can get lit on the Holy Ghost. But she said, he's really a good man, but he came in the other day and he just thought he'd play a little joke on me. And he came in, act like he was drunk. She said, he knows I can't stand it when he's drunk. But he came in playing a little joke on me, act like he's drunk, and doing whatever he's doing. And she said, I got mad and started, letting things fly out of my mouth. And I'm angry at him. I'm hitting him and so forth. He's like, I'm just kidding. She said, then that made me madder. She said, I let some things fly. And I just went back into the bedroom and slammed the door. Kapam! I was back there for a couple of hours and I started cooling off. How many of you know emotions will color your sense of reasoning, and you'll do things under the heat of emotion that later on those words you spoke come back to you?
Come on.
Because the feeling simmered down.
Yeah.
And now your conscience has more of a voice to your your conscience. And so you're like, those words come back. You're like, did I say that?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, I got to repent. She said, I started cooling off and I started feeling terrible. Those words that I said. See, I haven't spoken words like that since I got saved. Yeah. Things that came out of my mouth. I felt terrible. She said, I went to my husband the next morning and asked him to forgive me. And he said, well, really, I need to ask you to forgive me. He's not even saved. Ask you to forgive me. I'm the one playing the joke, And so she said, well, I forgive you. And he said, I forgive you. And so Brother Hagin said, well, you didn't ask me anything. You told me a story. What's your question?
Yeah.
What do you want prayer about? He said, well, she said, I've been praying all for all this time that God would forgive me, give me some kind of feeling that he forgave me because I feel terrible what I said.
Yeah.
You know, you can feel terrible.
Absolutely.
And so she said, I pray for God to give me some kind of feeling. And I want you to pray and agree with me. See, this is why you got to find out what people want prayer about, because sometimes you can't agree with them.
Right, right. Yes.
It's unscriptural. Yes. But agree with me, God give me some kind of feeling that he forgave me. Brother Hagin said, I can't do it.
Right.
I can't do it. She said, why not? Because he said, that's unscriptural. It's by faith. You receive it by faith.
That's right.
And he said, you just told me you got more faith in your husband than you have in God.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Your husband's not even saved, and he gave you his word and said, I forgive you. And you just accepted that he forgave you. But you got to do that with God too.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
You know what she's dealing with? Unforgiveness against herself.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Absolutely.
If your faith's going to be worth anything, you got to forgive yourself.
Yes, sir.
So true.
Amen. Right. That's all worth it right there tonight. Condemnation is the greatest enemy of faith.
Yes.
You got to just take it by faith. We confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to walk in love without feeling like it sometimes. We got to forgive ourselves sometimes without feeling like we're worthy of it.
Amen.
So, number one, we put our faith in the Word.
That's right.
The Word is first.
Yes.
Faith in the Word is second. And our feelings are last.
That's right.
Say that out loud. The Word is first.
The Word is first.
Faith in the Word is second.
Faith in the Word is second.
And our feelings are last. In other words, we don't go by our feelings. Well, I just don't feel like I'm forgiven. Or I don't feel like they've forgiven me. Well, what's feeling got to do with it? We've got to learn to walk by faith. Walk by faith. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank God we've got the Helper.
Yes, sir.
The Bible said, no man... The tongue can no man tame. Well, you read the Bible in other places. The Bible talks about speaking with other tongues under inspiration of the Spirit. And that's one way to bring your tongue under control. Yield to say what the Word says, number one. Yield to say what is coming up out of your spirit. You want to develop drawing the love of God up out of your spirit. Develop in praying much in other tongues. Only say what you hear the Father. Just like Jesus. Only say what's coming down in here.
That's so good.
Amen. You can feel terrible. You can feel mad. In fact, you might be getting red in your face. And you can say what comes up out of your spirit rather than what you feel like saying. Well, I'm not a hypocrite. Well, is it a hypocrite to do the Word?
All right. All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Huh?
That's good.
Amen.
Amen.
Maybe we ought to stand. Let's just end right there. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and stand up with me. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's check up on ourselves. What do you say? What ill will or animosity or hard feelings or anything? Remember the Bible talks about ill will. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Any unforgiveness or any sense of a grudge, treat it like, get that fire in you about, like I talked about some of these more seasoned ministers. Get that fire inside of you.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because if you're aware of the danger, then you'll treat it serious. You won't just like, well, it's no big deal. Amen. Make yourself repent right in front of people if you have to.
Yes, yes.
My staff will tell you I've had to do it.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I can't think of a particular case now what it was I got hot about. Not particularly all at them, but just about some situation.
Yeah.
And I just got hot.
Yep. Yep.
You know what I'm talking about? Bless God.
Yeah.
I'm in charge. Then you go home and start getting convicted. Hello, Teresa? It's 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night. I finally got quiet. Hello? This is Pastor. Hope I didn't wake you up. Bob said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. I couldn't wait till the morning. Amen.
Amen.
Now the flesh said, no, don't let you know, you'll ruin your good image in their eyes. No, they respect you more. Some of you husbands haven't repented to your wife for 16 years.
Come on.
Huh?
Come on.
I don't know if that's true, but I'm just saying some. Amen. And we know you're not that much of a humdinger. Amen. Say it out loud. There's some things. There's only one way out. That's called repentance. Woo! And glory when you get out. Glory when you get out, man. Woo! Gone. In the sea of forgetfulness. Amen. Amen. Get Brother Hagin said one time a lady came, said, this is my family and my husband's family. It seems like, I don't remember which side was which, I'll just pick one. My husband's family, it just seems like they pray. They're barely and hardly ever in church. And seems like every time they pray for, come, they haven't been in church for 3 months and they need healing and they'll come to church and somebody will pray for them, bam, they get healed. And my family, you know, we're in church all the time. We're Sunday school teachers and deacons and we're all, you know, we've been in here for a long time. No good of Christians in this church like us. And if we have any of us ever been healed in the prayer line, I can't remember. Brother Hagin said, I can probably tell you why. Your husband's family is quick to repent, quick to forgive. And your family holds grudges for a long time. He said her eyes got real big and said, oh my goodness. You hit the nail on the head. Something to it. That's right. Something to it. Faith works by love. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I want my faith working. Well, what if I've missed it? I mean, get that door closed to the devil as quick as you can. Just get it right, get it right, get it right, get it right.
Amen.
Amen. T.D. Jakes said, get ready, get ready, get ready. I'm saying, get it right, get it right, get it right. Amen. And go on in the blessings of God. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, I missed it so many times. Forgive yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Forgive yourself.
Amen.
Somebody needs this tonight. Yeah. Forgive yourself.
Amen.
Hold your head up.
Yeah.
Say, thank God that's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo, glory. And it'll help you to say the right thing.
Yes,
I confess my sin. He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Hey, you know what the devil's trying to do? I wrote this down. You know what the devil's trying to do? Whenever he's trying to get you to open the door, get out of love and open the door to him. You know what he's trying to get you to do? He's trying to get you to he's trying to rob you of your favor, your future, your anointing, your money, your joy, your peace, your sound mind, your health, your authority, the blessings of God, and anything that you've got or you're called to the ministry. He's trying to chase around your emotions. Amen. He's trying to get you to step back, draw back, and quit. Trying to get you to move from your place, give up, give your assignment up, give your calling up. He wants to get you to shut up and sit down. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy and rob you of all those things. He's trying to take your thought life and your sound mind. He's trying to get you to take lies. And he's trying to get you to take intimidation. But you can close the door to all of it. Just slam that door closed. I mean, if you're going to slam some doors, slam it on him. Boom! Poof! You can't intimidate me. You cannot rob my joy. You can't rob my blessing. Yeah!